This is Chinese New Year Sunday. Now, Christmas in the church, of course, is the most wonderful time of the year, right? And this wonderfulness crosses over to the new year. But for churches with many Chinese people, the party, the mood of festivals continues to Chinese New Year. That's our special blessing. So, with 6 more sleeps before Chinese New Year, let me wish those who are Chinese, 新年蒙恩爱主更深. These are put up here on the board for us. 6 more sleeps. I guess only kids are counting down, right? As they dream not of white Christmas, but of red packets full of money. Now, hearing about Chinese New Year in church, though, seems out of place. Chinese New Year paraphernalia and all the decorations are rather pagan, heavy on earthly treasures instead of heavenly blessings. And besides, mixing Chineseness with church sometimes conjure up uneasiness for us Chinese, because Chinese culture is traditionally Buddhist, Taoist, Confucianist. In fact, Chinese Christians like us are sometimes made to feel that we have done something wrong by becoming Christians. It's like we have turned our backs from our ancestors on our culture, our heritage. Subsequently, some of you here may resist Christianity for your eternal salvation. Why? Because somehow you can't reconcile Chinese culture with faith in Jesus Christ, even though you are convinced that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has died on the cross so that we can receive grace. Is that the case for some of you? On the other hand, some Chinese Christians may be saddened to think that your past ancestors never knew God due to distance of geography and distance of culture. So perhaps today's sermon will encourage you in that your Chinese roots may be more biblical than you expect. In any case, whether you're Chinese or otherwise, I hope today's sermon will shed some light on becoming Chinese Christians in a more positive way to overcome Chinese cultural baggage in relation to being Christians. So let's pause for prayer before we jump into today's sermon. Almighty God, in you we live and move and have our being. We thank you, Lord, for making us the way we are. And Father God, in this topsy-turvy world today, sometimes who we are makes us uncomfortable in our own skin. And today we particularly think about our faith, our religion, our Christianity. So Lord, open up our minds, enlighten our spirits, inspire us with your word and your truth, so that we can walk out of here more affirmed, more encouraged, and more committed to our Christian faith, even as Chinese. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, today's scripture is part of Paul's preaching to the Greeks at Mars Hill. Mars Hill is a rocky hill, aka Areopagus, in Athens, Greece. It's close to the Acropolis Hill, a key tourist attraction. And in reasoning with the Greeks there, Paul points to God as the common thread tying all humanity together, whether it's Jews, Gentiles, including... Oh, wait a minute, he didn't say anything about Chinese. But he did say, for all are God's offspring, verse 28. And verse 26 says, it's God who determines when and where different nations live. So, is Chinese included in there? You scratch your head. Well, I scratch mine anyway. So where do Chinese fit into God's divine and universal scheme? Now, as Chinese prepare to celebrate Chinese New Year, I want to think about Chinese roots with you. I believe 5 indicators point to the Chinese being actually deeply rooted in the God of the Bible. That's right. Chinese Christians, we are not turning our backs on our ancestors. We have not abandoned our heritage nor culture. And for that, I have 5 main indicators that I want to share with you. Hopefully you spur your thinking to let these old roots of our Chinese heritage indicate that we Chinese, instead of feeling ashamed of our faith in Christians for having forsaken our ancestors, we don't worship them anymore, we don't offer incense and things like that to them. Actually, we are doing so as Christians, not all those traditions, but doing so as in faith in Christ, because we Chinese are deeply rooted in God. Okay? So, now here, first of all, old roots does not mean roots that are passé, invalid, old-fashioned. Okay? Old is about the original, about origins, which brings me to our first indicator today. The first indicator is our origins. The Bible in chapter 11 of Genesis explains how one group of people at a place called Babel became scattered to different parts of the earth. Genesis chapter 1 verses 8 to 9 says, "So the Lord scattered them from over all the earth and they stopped building the city." That's why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Genesis chapter 11. And from this chart of world history, including the biblical history, historians tell us, okay, let me just ask you, where do you think the Chinese history begins? Here, here, or here? Where do you think it should begin?
300 BC.
Somewhere here. Yeah. Afterwards, yes. This harmonizes the origination of the Chinese race with biblical records. And from there, Chinese historical records also corroborate with other cosmological events of the Bible. That's just a big word saying all the rest of China, Chinese, were still a people in this entire earth, right? So how does our archaeological records fit into all these events of the world? So, 7 years famine was recorded in the Bible about Joseph's time, right? And would you know that even the Chinese record also recorded 7 years of famine in China? So perhaps that famine in Egypt was quite widespread. And even millennia later, the Star of Bethlehem is also recorded in the Chinese record of especially bright star. These records confirm or affirm the origins of the Chinese, their old roots being firmly planted in God. So the Chinese origins is the first indicator that we Chinese are deeply rooted in God of the Bible. Now, of course, there's lots of information given today's time of sermon is limited, so I will quickly go through these 5 indicators, but you can always come to talk to me afterwards, okay? So we move on now. The second indicator is God's name, 上帝, or in Malaysia we call 上帝. Like the Hebrews, Chinese are rather particular in picking names. Names are picked for meaning rather than sound. So imagine the great care taken in picking God's word. And since this creator of the universe has no physical form and cannot be represented physically, the Chinese name for God is picked to reflect God's attributes. And what are these attributes? Historically, the name Shanti comes from the Shang Dynasty, dating back to thousands of years ago. And these are the attributes of God that they have recorded about who this God is. Isn't it amazing how these attributes of Shanti parallel those of the God of the Bible? And these attributes of Shanti, they are taken from the Chinese classics. Some of us may not know them, but you know, when you Google Chinese classics, these four books and five books will come up. And Shanti is mentioned over 100 times. When it comes to Shanti, discovered Chinese artifacts show that the Chinese religion worshipped Shanti, God, first. And then they regressed to worshipping ancestors and then further to nature. This is reverse of what the world thinks. That, oh, Chinese people are very pagan. They just worship nature. Then they improve and start to worship ancestors. And they later on, worship the Almighty God. That contradicts Chinese historians' theory to the opposite effect. Incredibly for the Chinese, a culture that is prone to making idols. Ancient Chinese, our roots, they did not make any idol to represent Shanti. That's amazing. It is as if they were adhering to such an act being prohibited, like in the Hebrew Bible. Isn't it amazing that the two cultures, the Hebrews and the Chinese, in such the opposite ends of the world, yet the God they deem the Supreme One shares such similarities in attributes? Is it possible that at one time the Hebrews and the Chinese were worshipping the same God, though set in two different geographies and cultures? So God may not be so foreign to us after all. We always think God is a Western religion, but actually, religion of Christianity started in the East. Israel is in the East, not in the West. Although the lifestyle happens later on to be set in the Western civilization. So God isn't so foreign to Chinese after all. And moving from God's name, Shanti, next is the name again, but this time is the name of the country. Now the name China, as we now know, is not rooted. That's right, I did not say it wrong. The name China is not rooted in Chinese culture. The word China was coined around 200 BC when Europe derived it from Qing Dynasty. They used it to describe the beautiful porcelain the tablewares. 中国, as the Chinese words that we know China as, was coined around way before 200 BC. It's 23rd century BC. Literally, that means Central Kingdom, thinking of we are the focus of the world. But the real root name of the country, as found in ancient historical documents, the name of China is given as Shenzhou. That means God's country or holy country. And in God's country, ancient Chinese trusted in God's supreme will, for only those selected by God could ascend to the throne. So rulers, they rule, they subject to the knowing the universal moral order and practicing it in the rule. Now the term for such a right-to-rule principle is called the heaven mandate, or the mandate of heaven. Chinese is Tian Ming. Now, under this principle, the emperor must adhere to the mandate in order to deserve the allegiance of the people. In other words, the monarch is accountable to both God and the people he rules. This contrasts with the medieval Europe, where the rulership, the authority, is derived directly from God. Hence, the emperors were considered divine. And thus, they are answerable only to God. That's the case for the Roman rulers as well as the Japanese rulers, because these people are considered gods. But in Shenzhou, God's country, though the emperor is called Son of Heaven, they are not considered divine and are thus checked and balanced by their responsibilities towards God as well as the people. How marvelous it is. The whole of China's recorded history attests that under the mandate of heaven, Shenzhou as a country prospered under virtuous rulers, rulers who adhere to the mandate of heaven, which prescribes moral rule. And when they don't, they falter under evil rulers. So the name of the country, Shenzhou, is a third indicator that Chinese roots line up with God's sovereignty. So far, so good. Two more to go. Now, from the mandate of heaven came a tradition that closely paralleled biblical tradition. That's the fourth indicator, the border sacrifice, 交祭. The border sacrifice started as early as 2200 BC. Confucius, interestingly, made the earliest record of this festival or this ritual. It ended, unfortunately, after the Manchu dynasty. For four millennia, rulers of Chinese dynasties personally slaughtered an unblemished bull annually. The emperor himself has to fast 3 days prior to offering the animal sacrifice to Shanti. Such sacrifices form part of the worship at the building called the Temple of Heaven, aka the Altar of Heaven. In sharp contrast to temples built for spirits and ancestors, Tiantang, this Temple of Heaven, contains no idol, no images. And the nine steps of the border sacrifice were amazingly similar to the Old Testament sacrificial system, especially the prayers. For example, this is a song of the border sacrifice. Of old, in the beginning, there was great chaos, without form and dark. The five elements had not begun to revolve, nor the sun or moon to shine. Sounds familiar? In the midst of the chaos, there existed neither form nor sound. You, O spiritual sovereign, came out in your presidency, in other words, your sovereignty, and first did divide the grosser parts, which means the chaos, from the purer God's creation. What does this remind you of? How about Genesis chapter 1? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, I'm not saying that they are the same thing, okay? Even from the words, you can tell they're different. But the concept is there. And there's more. Another prayer. You made heaven. You made earth. This is song number one. You made man. Of course, it includes women. All things with the reproducing power got their being from you. Isn't that what we have just heard? In you, we find our being. Yeah, our being. From today's scripture. Another scripture, Isaiah 45, 12, it is I who made the heaven and created mankind upon it, etc. And next one, you regard us as a father does his child. My goodness, so wonderful, isn't it? Psalm number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, I will be a father to you and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Almighty. The prayers of the original or the old emperors echo so much of the word that we have in today's scripture. So, the fourth indicator, the border sacrifice, as part of the ancient Chinese worship ritual, including the prayers especially, reflect their understanding, their belief, and the worship of God. That's not so different from the one that we Christians worship today, is it? And finally, the fifth indicator, what do you think it is? I think a lot of you know this. God in Chinese words. Chinese words are very difficult. I tell you, memorize every character. So I don't expect you to be experts in this, and don't expect me to be expert in this either. But Chinese writing started from Yellow Emperor about 2700 BC. Incidentally, that's 200 years before the pyramid period. The Yellow Emperor ordered the court recorder Chang Jie to develop the language scripts. And interestingly, he did so by observing and mimicking tracks of birds and animals. So if your handwriting today, someone says, oh, you look like chicken scratches, your handwriting, maybe you know why. Because originally, that's how the Chinese scripts, are legendary. Now, much is written about how Chinese characters or the words tell the story of Genesis. Now, while it's not irrefutable proof, the correlations are just hard to dismiss. It is said a picture tells 1,000 words, right? But in Chinese words, it's the reverse. 1,000 words tell us the word. 1,000 pictures tell us the word of God. Example. This is the word Yuan Garden. It's made of these different radicals, they call it, different parts of the word Tu, which is dust, and Ko, which is breath or life or person, and two persons in an enclosure. What does that remind you of? The Garden of Eden, doesn't it? And this word, Jing, that means forbidden, to warn, is made up of many trees. However, God's radical in there is to tell them that of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you are forbidden. That's how the word Jing comes. Okay, and if you put these two words together, it becomes Ling. It is like forest. So it's many trees anyway. I have many of these words. I even have a little booklet I can share with you later. But this is the most impressive to me. The word boat, chuan. Say chuan. Okay, very good. Your Chinese is excellent. All right. It's made up of these radicals, which is a vessel that holds 8 people. What is the first picture of chuan? The first time that chuan is mentioned or boat is mentioned, there's another word, 3 letters, ark. And on that ark are 8 people. Noah and his wife and the 3 sons and the wives. 8 people. Now again, I must emphasize, okay, these indicators of words isn't irrefutable proof, but so many Chinese characters tell the Bible stories. The Chinese and the Hebrews share the distinction of having the longest consecutively preserved cultures and histories in the world. And as I close, let me summarize the 5 indicators pointing to Chinese original roots as deeply buried in the fertile soil of faith in biblical God. The first one is the origins of Chinese as a people of God. And second, as a race that recognizes Shanti as a universal creator whose attributes parallel that of God of the Bible. The third is the border sacrifice that affirms, along with the rituals and prayers, the biblical accounts. And fourth, the Chinese consider their state as God's country, Shenzhou, where government was run under the mandate of heaven, trusting in the supreme will of God. All these emperors are held accountable to God and people as well. And the language of the Chinese language embeds meaning, attesting to biblical truths. Now, individually, each of these indicators seems like mere circumstantial evidence. However, when you consider them collectively, you will be hard-pressed to deny the many parallels the God of the ancient Chinese knew and worshipped and the God Chinese Christians know and worship today, like the God we know. The Chinese civilization started very well. But what went wrong? Unfortunately, just like the many similarities between the Hebrews and the Chinese cultures and histories that started godly, there's also the similarity in the downfall as sin entered the scene in China. Once, where Chinese rulers ruling under the mandate of heaven had to earn the right to rule by becoming accountable to God and his subjects, they turn into rulers obsessed only with their own self-interests. Once they had to personally slaughter the sacrificial bull, they decided they are too high and mighty to be dealing with the bloody and messy sacrificial system. So they abdicated it to the lesser subjects. And from there, they regressed even more to forsake the sacrificial system and shanty altogether. They turned instead to man-created idols and even dragons as the objects of faith and worship. Then others, the other religions started creeping in, which became what Chinese are more associated with today, like Taoism, Confucianism, Buddhism, etc. These religions came 2,000 years after the roots of Chinese culture had been soaked in faith in a monotheistic God like that of the Bible. It's like the Hebrew story all over again. How easily they turned from God after many years of blessing through the faith in him and fell. Is it any wonder that when Christianity was introduced to China thousands of years later, it seemed so foreign? So if our Chinese roots feel a bit foreign to us, unfamiliar, or even offensive, and even like, you know, condemning us, maybe it's because you do not dig deep enough to the ancient, the original roots of the Chinese people. So, Ephesians, Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being. We are his offspring." So in Chinese New Year 2024, claim, as the Chinese original roots did, that you are God's offspring, that you belong with God. Amen. Let us pray. Our eternal, divine supreme, we thank you for revealing to us in your words that we are all your creations. We have found our beings in you. And Father God, we thank you for the joy and privilege of celebrating as Chinese, or just as any individual, as any race, that we can find our roots being deeply embedded in the eternal and living God. Help us find this identity by digging diligently and deeply to find the source of our origin. And let that compel us with the power of Holy Spirit to live our lives meaningfully and purposefully, as well as witnessfully as disciples of Christ, making more disciples for your name's sake. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.